In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Do you see how Jesus loves the body? If the body were unimportant, if only the soul mattered, then why did he go through such extravagant ceremonies when he could have just spoken the word and healed the man? Because he loves the body. And he sighs deeply because it hurts him to see man broken under the curse of sin. This is not how he created this man to be, deaf and mute. He desires him to have life and to enjoy that life fully. He loves the body. Yet in our day, we hate the body. When I say we, I mean primarily society, but we should not think that we are immune to society's teachings as well. We are all products of our culture, and they have affected us in one way or another, so we also can grow to despise the body. We abuse it by neglecting it. We let it sit around all day because physical activity just doesn't seem all that fun. We stuff it with food and drink until it can barely move. We mark it up with designs and piercings, claiming that this is our canvas and we are just simply expressing ourselves as we see fit. We change it medically to look something different. And again, you can see how society has taken that down the road. And yet we also change our bodies to want to look younger. We want to be something else than what God has given. God's great and noble creation is stuffed, poked, neglected, and chopped up to suit our minds. And for some reason, we think the mind is the true self and our body is simply an afterthought. Even worse, we think that our feelings are our true self and our mind and our body must conform to however we are feeling at any given moment. To use a popular phrase, how can we be so uneducated? If you do not have a body, are you really a human? Yes, humans are both body and soul, but the two belong together in a holy union. And if they are separate, then are you really a human? I should be a bit more precise in my speech. You do not simply have a body, but you are a body. You do not have a soul, but you are a soul. Both are necessary for you to be you. So it's an unfathomable curse to lose the body. We would be subhuman. Nothing more than souls floating around, tormented with the sad fate of never touching heaven's golden streets, never smelling heaven's fragrant incense, never hearing the songs of angels, never seeing our loved ones, never seeing our incarnate God, never even praising our God. For do not the five senses belong to the body? And if we do not have a body, then how can we have those senses? We'd be only left with a soul, whatever that is, we're not even quite sure. The body is important because the body is you. I suspect that we despise the body in our day and age because the sin, the curse, is so prevalent in it. It stumbles and falls. It grows and matures, yet rarely into the form and the posture and the person that we idealized in our youth. It's always lacking. There's always something wrong. There's always a pimple, a gray hair, baggy eyes, saggy skin, or disproportions. It's not ideal. And then we see it overcome by a common cold. Still don't know how to fix that. Or a flu. We think we got it, but we don't. It's no wonder that many hate their bodies when the effects of sin are so clearly seen in them. It needs makeup to look good, medication to feel good, exercise to be healthy, and even then, all these things rarely work. Many imagine themselves as someone special, yet then they have to put on their glasses or hearing aids. Then they need a walker or a cane. There are imperfections galore in all of us. They imagine themselves someone special, and so they cry out, the body is not the true me. It's not how I conceive myself. And Jesus sighs. This is not how he created you to be. He loves you. He loves watching you grow and mature, doing hard things both mentally and physically. He loves watching you learn new tasks. And he is sad when you can no longer do the things you once were able to do. It's not the life that he had created for you. It's not the life that he intended. This is not the body he so delicately knit together in your mother's womb. He intended more for you. You were to be in his image and in his likeness, ruling over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature. You were to be ruler over, yes, even the sharks and the whales and the lions and the coyotes. All of them were to willingly submit to you. How far we have fallen. We were the most beautiful creature God had created, far surpassing the peacock, more noble than a valiant steed, more courageous than a lion, stuffed with life and health and vigor. But now we see our lives so far removed from Eden, barely recognizable. The body is barely recognizable. So God took on a body. He doesn't just have a body any more than he has a divine nature. He is divine. He is a body. Though we hate our bodies and despise them and wish that they were different, he loves them. Though we wish that we were different in attitude and personality, he loves us. And Jesus comes to restore us back to the image and likeness of God. An image that is not ethereal or spiritual or somehow embedded deep in our hearts, but an image that is seen in our bodies, expressed and enjoyed as physical creatures of God, soon manifest in us. So the incarnate God takes up our space. He walks around even as we walk around from place to place. The beginning of the gospel reading had the travel of Jesus, going from Tyre through Sidon, around the Sea of Galilee, to the region of the Decapolis, on the other side of the Jordan River. That's a little bit more than a historical marker. Those historical markers reveal the incarnation of our God. He can move from place to place, even as we do. He has a past, a present, and a future to forgive our past, so that our present might be lived in his blood and our future might be at home with him in heaven. God moves and acts in history to redeem us historical creatures. So he sticks his fingers in the man's ears. He spits and touches the man's tongue, pulling him away by himself. He who cannot be touched touches the broken man. It hurts him to see like this. Ephatha, that is, be opened. And the body was sealed. The man heard. The tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. The curse of a fallen world was temporarily removed from this man, for Jesus came to heal the body, so that man might have life fully. He could have just spoken from a distance, as he did with the centurion's servant. He could have simply touched, as he did with many others. But he employs these strange, almost too close for comfort ceremonies to teach us just how much he loves your body. He becomes part of his creation to redeem you, his creation. And he works through that creation to accomplish it. It is his body that hung upon the cross. It is his blood that won forgiveness. A historical death, and thus a historical victory for us historical creatures. A physical death for us physical creatures, thus a physical victory for us. And so he comes to you in the same way as he did this man. He comes in his body to heal you and to redeem you even now. If God were simply divided, if Christ were divided between his human nature and divine nature, then he is no longer your Savior. So this divine service is a bodily encounter with God. He is physically present here, even as he stood before that man. And he employs these strange, almost too close for comfort ceremonies, even among us today. He touches your ears in his word so that they might be unclogged from the lies and deceits of this world, so that they might be unclogged from your own self-delusions. That is not too bad. We don't mind someone speaking to us, but understand what he is doing. He is sticking his spirit into your ears so that he might fill you. And then he bids you to come forward and open your mouth because he wants to touch your tongue. Take and eat the body of Christ. He touches your tongue so your lips might be unloosed and your tongue unbound and you might declare his praise. God speaks and you respond. God speaks and you praise him for all the great and wonderful things that he has done for you. You honor him, not simply in your heart, but you honor him in the body which he has redeemed. Reverence spills out into actions. It begins in the heart, but it always moves into the actions. There's a reason why we will never bow before the President of the United States, whether this one or any other one who is to come. But there is a reason why we bow here. We are a body that has been redeemed. Soul and body united together, bowing before our Lord, both redeemed, both holy, both made immortal. Because of Jesus. The man saw it, we do not. We don't look any different than when we first walked in, but we confess that we are. We may not feel any different, but we confess that we are different. The same doctor's appointments still dot our schedules, the same medications still are necessary, the same pimples, wrinkles, disproportioned face, gray hair, saggy skin, baggy eyes are still there. Cancer still bothers. The flu still troubles. The cold still perplexes. Glasses, hearing aids, canes, and walkers are still necessary. And yet we confess that Christ has taken it all away. We live by faith, not by sight. We are healed in body, even as we are healed in soul. So how delightful. How delightful that we are body and soul forever. How delightful that we are the crowning jewel of God's creation and redeemed to be that creation. So let us honor God in our bodies. Let us honor our God by honoring our body, by wearing dignified clothes, refraining from overeating, overdrinking, and excessive markings and piercings. For God has redeemed this body. And you will forever be you, a body and soul, perfectly united in the image and likeness of God. Glorious as Christ is glorious. An image and likeness that expresses, manifests, and shows itself in your body. Yes, even in your very appearance. Free from the curse, free from pain, free from sin. Free to enjoy life fully. Free to be all that God had created you to be and then some, for God loves the body. Which is really nothing more than to say, God loves you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.